Good morning, everyone. Does anybody know what this is? Makes me feel like what we do on Wednesday night. See, on Wednesday night, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm Crocodile Ken on Wednesday night, and I'm your expedition guide as we go up Mount Kilimanjaro, and it's a really exciting time, and I just thought, you know, I would encourage us again to just think about the kids and what they're going through and interesting drama that we got going on there. So pray for them, pray for all that's going on there, and you know, the kids' hearts and those that are involved in the teaching and participation in that and all of that, that God would just continually use that to grow our faith in Him and to speak to the hearts of those children and the truth of Jesus Christ. It's an important time in the body of Christ that we do in that. Today we're going to finish up. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to finish up part three in our series on our participation in the Lord's work. We have part four next week, and then we're going to be done with chapter 16. And then, like I said before, we're going to move into some other things until we get ready to sometime in September, October. Still preparing to do 2 Corinthians, reading through that, preparing my heart, going through all of the that is in there, and doing a lot of study in that kind of thing. So, like I said before, we'll do a few other things till we get to 2 Corinthians. But here we are. Here we are finishing up part three in our series on participation in the Lord's work. We're looking at these five commands, these five imperatives. They're in verses 13 and 14. These five principles for living. That's the topic that we're going through. So we're getting our minds wrapped on that. We're looking at principles for living out of God's word. Well, I already told you where we find them here. Paul is, his emphasis is on the way you live. That's what we're looking at, how we live our life. These principles that you live by, because they affect your participation in the Lord's work. That's the bottom line of what we're talking about. So you would know as we go through God's word and looking at this, and we'll finish up the principles here. The bottom line we're talking about, these are principles for living for Christians, believers in Christ, and they tremendously affect your participation in the Lord's work. They do. They're powerful living principles. We've talked about it in many ways. The Corinthians are floundering in their Christian life. We've looked at that a lot of ways. They're being thrown around by the waves of life. They're not in unity. They're in conflict. There's jealousy, strife. They're living immorally. They're not honoring the Lord with their choices. They're self-focused. They're self-gratifying. They're being misled in what is true. They're relying on man's wisdom. They're floundering. We've looked at that. We've documented that as we went through that. God has spoke to our hearts in all of those different kind of areas in our own life as we looked at that. We don't need to go over all of that. Just to say this, though, the foundational principles you live dramatically affect the way of your life. They absolutely do. The principles that you're living dramatically affect the way of your life and your work for the Lord. They do. In Paul's concluding remarks here in verses 13 and 14, as he concludes here in chapter 16, he gives these five imperatives, these five commands of God. They're military terms, military orders to the principles of living. What he's doing that for is to stabilize the Corinthians' living, to stabilize their life so they can do the work of the Lord. We said this before, too. Does the same thing for us. We need things in our life, principles of living that stabilize the way we live our life, stabilize our life so we can live for the Lord, so we can do the Lord's work, so we can participate in what God wants us to do. Now, I want you to think with me, in your life, if you have instability in your life, the principles of God in His Word, what they are, the principles, the way we live our life, bring stability to your life. Probably a good place for an amen there. God's word, God's truth lived brings stability to our life in the midst of whatever's going on. This is what Paul is teaching here. This is what he's talking about. Like I said, they do the same for us. Here they are in our text. Let's read them, chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Paul writes this, "Be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you be done, all that you do be done in love." Five powerful principles. They're very important. We should be seeking to live this way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. They sound like a commander commanding the platoon, don't they? They're God's word speaking to His soldiers. That's the way they're presented. That's the way they are. You're a soldier of the Lord. Christians are. We're who we are in Christ. God is talking to His soldiers, to His platoon, to the body of Christ, to the family of God. Now, we've already looked at two of them. And I'll cover that briefly, but we've already looked at two. First, be on the alert. Now, that meant be spiritually awake. Stay with me here. And so we grab the wholeness of this to be spiritually awake. All of us are to be continually spiritually awake. We're to recognize all that's going on in this life, all that's going on in each and every day. We're to recognize that God isn't working at all. We're to recognize it matters how you live, your attitude, your actions, your relationships, your circumstances. It all matters. We're to be spiritually awake to God as at work in all of them. He will change us. He will use us. He will grow us. He will focus us. And also what we looked at is we're to be spiritually awake to Satan's attempt to sidetrack you, to railroad you off what God is doing in your life. Don't be asleep. That's what he said. Don't be indifferent to God's word, to God's way. That was the first principle that we covered. The second one that we covered was stand firm in the faith. You remember last week what he talked about. Now again, these are principles for living for all of you, for each one of you, for all of us. No Christian gets to avoid these. No Christian doesn't say, well, no, these are for, in the verb tense, they're for all of us all the time to be this. We are to be steadfast, be firm, demonstrate stability in our faith, in the faith. That was the second principle. This brings stability to our life. I'm going to keep emphasizing that. In the midst of a world where there won't be any stability. We have a lot of stability in our life, in America and in life and those kind of things. We're talking to people that the world that they lived in, the environment that they lived in, the culture that they lived in, the city they lived in, the town they lived in, the government that they're under, there wasn't any stability. It was pretty horrific. You couldn't trust that you were going to get water from anybody. You couldn't trust you're going to get food from anybody. You couldn't trust that your neighbor was going to get punished for stealing all your stuff. It wasn't a world that we live in like we live in now. It was an extreme difficult world. And he's talking about Christians being stable, having stability in the midst of that. We got to stand firm in the faith, standing firm continually, all of us, in the truth of his gospel, in the truth of his way for us, God's way for us, in the truth of who he is, in the truth of who we are, in the truth of his word. We talked about that last week. We are to be demonstrating stability and our devotion to Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on in the world. Standing firm in God's authoritative word. So one, we're to be spiritually awake. Number two, we're to stand firm in God's revealed truth. It's a continual action, all of us, all the time, commanded by God to all of us. Well, those are the first two principles. Kind of being sergeant of arms at this moment. Meant to preach it in that moment, to talk about it in this way. As commands of God, as instructions from the Lord. These two principles lived alone will be tremendous stability to your Christian living. Without them, you're going to not have a lot of stability. You're going to go about what you feel, what you think, what you want, what you do. And then the enemy's going to be opposed to all of that. You're not going to be awake to all of that. And you're going to wonder in your heart and mind why things are just the way they are. These are good. These are important. These are God's truth, God's word. We're to teach God's word, preach God's word, protect the body of Christ, defend the holiness of the church. That's what preaching God's word is doing. Edifying, building up the body of Christ. Telling us God's truth. It steadies the ship. But that's not all that he says. He has three more. And the last one's love. I want you to look at me and think of it this way. He's speaking to it in twofold. We need balance. It's in your outline. On the one hand, we need to stand firm in the faith. We need to be spiritually awake. The other hand, we're going to need to act like men. We're going to need the love. I can't even think of the other one. It's gone out of my head at the moment. We're going to need to be strong. There's balance. You got to do both. Listen, we're here to do the Lord's work. Our desire is to do the Lord's work, to share Christ, to pursue living a godly life, to live a strong testimony to the saving faith found in Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying we're to be abound in and helping others do the same. We're going to need balance, not only spiritual maturity or spiritually awake, standing firm in the faith. We're going to need to have mature courage. We're going to be strong and we're going to need to love. That's all over God's word. Ephesians 4:15 says this, speak the truth in love. So we're to speak the truth. We're to hold out the truth. That's what God is saying in his word, and speak the truth. Hold out the truth. That's what God wants us to do to one another, to the lost, to each other. Hold forth the truth of God. So on one hand, we're to be spiritually awake, standing firm in God's word, holding out the truth, as Ephesians would say. That's your left hand. Hold up your left hand with me. Some of you need help. It's on this side. Okay, there we go. That's your left hand, but you need balance. This isn't a one-handed deal. You need to hold out the truth. We only do one hand. You just hold the truth out, it gets out of balance. We become negative, critical, judgmental, impatient. You think of the things that way we become if we only do it one-handed. We have to have love, spiritual maturity, spiritual courage, being strengthened by the Lord. We need both hands. But if we only have this one, love, and we only hold out love, what happens is we hold out man's wisdom of love, man's idea of love. We don't have God's truth in with love, and then that becomes wrong. So in your principles of living, on the left hand, you're going to be spiritually awake, standing firm in God's word. On the right hand, you must act like men, be strong, do all that you do in love. You need both. And that's what I want you to see here. And look at that. These principles of living are to be lived out. Can't just have love and be spiritually asleep. Love, spiritually asleep. Let me get my hands right. Can't just be standing firm in the faith, but be unloving in the way you live. So let's look at the three final principles that Paul is talking about, the living principles. They are the right hand, if you want to say it that way. Just trying to set this in your heart and mind so you see it this way. Last three principles. First, he says, look at the text, act like men. Well, what's he talking about? Women, he's not telling you to act like a man in the sense of what we might take that. You know, or you know how men act, right? You know, we know nothing when it comes to why is that broken. We know, you know, we're not very good around the house. He's not talking about that. That's not what the verb is meaning. He's not talking about that we're all to just be acting like men. He's talking about something else. He's continual action verb for all of us again. We're to all act like men, but it's not an outward action. That's not what he's talking about. The verb tense here is in the middle voice. This is important. This is grammar. This is why words matter. It's a middle voice action is toward yourself. It's upon yourself. It means to have mature courage. This is what he's saying. All of us are to grow up, be mature, have courage. Quit acting like a baby about the things of life. Ooh. That's what it's saying as a principle for living. One hand, spiritually awake, standing firm in the faith. The other hand, we've got to have courage, mature courage in this life. We've got to grow up and act like men in this life. That's what he's talking about. That's why he's translated that. Maturity, courage, grow up, quit acting like a baby about things. That's what he's talking to the church about. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:20. Let me just expand this a little bit on this and what he's saying. Just over one page in your book. 1 Corinthians 14:20, it says it like this. Paul wrote, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature." Same idea. We got to quit being children. We can't be childlike. We can't. What are your children like? They just, everything's got to work out, right? Your children, right? That's the way it is. It needs to work out. They don't get it why it doesn't work out. If it's not coming about the way they liked it, you have to work on that, right? All of that. Your children are like that, right? Children in their thinking that, you know, everything is hunky-dory, it's going to work out, the world's about me. You know, all that you would say, that's what he's talking about. We got to grow up and be mature adults opposed to being childlike. On the one hand, if you stand firm in God's truth, on the other hand, you need to have mature courage as you stand firm in God's truth. It's like Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, a good soldier of Jesus Christ can't be afraid of what might happen. That's what Paul is talking to the church as a principle of life for us. We can't be, oh, people won't like me. I won't get what I want. It might be difficult. I might be misunderstood. Somebody might slander me. This might not turn out the way I wanted it to. It's going to bring family separation. That might happen. See, that's childish thinking. That's what he's getting to. Biblically, truth in God's word. God's at work in this world. We're here to do the work of the Lord. To do the work of the Lord, a lot of things happen. It doesn't come out in a child's, like, storybook. That's what he's talking to the church about. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. We're going to have mature courage. That's what he's talking about. This is the principle of life. Listen, only the truth changes, saves, rescues anybody. That included you and me. Our hope is in the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. On the front of your bulletin, our hope is in the Lord. Be strong and take courage. Same kind of idea. We need to be mature adults about this. Isaiah said it this way, those with anxious hearts, I didn't write it down, I think it's in your outline, take courage, fear not, God will come. So listen to this. So as a principle for life, you and all of us need to continually have mature courage. Put the big boy pants on. Life might be difficult. That's what God's word's saying. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? That's what he's getting to. That's what he's talking to us as a living principle for the Christian, for the believer in Christ. This is going to bring stability to your life in the midst of what goes on. Then he says this. He says, be strong. Look at me back in Corinthians. He says this. This goes with number three also. These kind of go together, and I'll show you why. But be strong. It's a continual action imperative again. All the time, all of us. But listen to this. It's in the passive voice. That means in verb, that means the action happens to you from an outside source. See, the first two, be spiritually awake, to stand firm in the faith, there are actions that we live out in this life as we live. The middle voice here says that in the inside, we're going to have mature courage. We're going to decide that we're going to be adults in this life, living for Christ. This one says, be strong. It's in the passive voice, be being strengthened. It's saying, be being strengthened by the Lord. That's what it's talking about. We're going to need the Lord to strengthen us as we walk through this life. We're going to have the Lord strengthen our hearts, strengthen our life. We're going to have to be being strengthened by the Lord. How do you get strengthened by the Lord? How do you get strengthened by the Lord? You just wake up in the day, and I just went through my day, and the Lord just strengthened me, and I just was strengthened. I think the Bible's clear. The Word of God's clear. We're strengthening the Lord in a relationship with the Lord as we trust in the Lord, as we seek the Lord, as we follow His way. The Lord is strengthening us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul, in relationship with the Lord, in depending upon Him and seeking in Him and trying to follow His Word and walking with the Lord strengthened him to do all things that the Lord wanted him to do. Strengthening, being strengthened, inherently talks about having a relationship with God, and God strengthening you through the things of life. And that's what Paul is saying to the church, all right? So we got to have mature courage. We got to stand up and say we're going to be adults in this. And Lord, you're going to need to strengthen us, and I'm going to have to seek you and your strength as a principle of life. Because that's the only way you're going to be strong. That's what he's talking about. It insinuates that you have to go through some things, struggles, trials, difficulties, change, weaknesses, sufferings. They're all in the Word of God. They're all taught in there how the Lord strengthened us for that, to be continually being strengthened by the Lord. Listen to the list again. You're going to have to go through struggles, trials, difficulties, change, weaknesses, sufferings. I didn't put all the verses down. Well, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, well, and I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's not his strength. God strengthened him. Well, then I'll gladly walk around in weakness. For when I'm weak, then God will strengthen me in all these kind of things. This is a principle of living. A commandment of God, right out of the Word of God, talking to a church, the body of Christ, us, me and you, in the midst of whatever's going on in life, as a principle of life for us to live. This is what Paul is talking about. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3:16 says this. He asks that God would strengthen us in the inner man so faith in Christ would be at home in our heart. You see, God wants faith at home in our heart. He wants our faith in Christ at home in our heart to be strengthened in the inner man by God. It's a relational aspect. It's walking with the Lord. You will have to rely on the Lord to strengthen you through life as a principle of life. And that's what he's saying that we need to do. Be strengthened and have mature courage. I know I'm just like you. I am just like you. I don't want to. I don't want anything hard in my life. I don't want anything difficult in my life. I don't want any of this. God, you need to fix all this. This can't be. I don't want anything in my life. I have a childless mind. I do. I don't like it. We're not supposed to go through things like this. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. I'm like you. Anybody have those questions? But if that were the case, that we wouldn't go through these, this command wouldn't be as a principle of living. Wouldn't be here. Wouldn't be in God's Word. So let me show you a couple places where Paul got this. Okay, this is what he's teaching. Oops. I promise, Tom, I won't kick your computer. Turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel, chapter 10. I want to show you where Paul got this. You know, and God, obviously he got it from God. But, you know, Paul knew the Old Testament really well. And so, yeah, it is 2 Samuel, isn't it? Let me look at my notes. Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 10. Let's look there, and as you find your place, let me kind of just set the scene. But let me show you where Paul is drawing on what he knows about God's truth, God's word, and God is speaking to him to write these things. And let me just show you how this is in God's word, what we're talking about today here in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9 and following. But let me set the scene as you're getting there. The king of the Amorites dies. Hanun, the son, takes the throne. So the king dies. Hanun, the son, takes the throne of the Amorites. David, in a care, compassion, loving way, loving Hanun, caring about him, holding love out to him, sends some of his servants to counsel Hanun. He cares about him. It's in the text. He cares about them. He's concerned for Hanun, lost his dad, now he's king. Some of Hanun's people say, David doesn't care about you. He wants to search the city to see how he can overthrow us. It's not an act of love of David. It's not an act of compassion. He's trying to ruin our life. Hanun, he's trying to ruin our life. So the Amorites gather up an army. Syrians join in. 33,000 men come to attack. David hears about it. He sends Joab and Abisha, I'm going to say that, his brother, with the army, the mighty men. Look at verse 9. Here's where we pick up the story. Now, when Joab saw that the battle was set against him, in front of him and in the rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel and arrayed them against the Arameans, that's the Syrians. But the remainder of the people he placed at the hand of Abisha, his brother, and he arrayed them against the sons of Ammon, that's the Amorites. He said to them, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come help you. I want you to see in the text there, he's talking about, this is why we all need to stand firm in the Lord. We all need to be spiritually awake. We all need to have courage. We all need to be strengthened by the Lord, because God uses us, each one of us, to help each other out when we're not strong enough for what's opposing us. But he's teaching. Look at what he says next, verse 12. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous. Be strong. Be being strengthened in God. He told his brother, you know what? Have the strength of the Lord. Be being strengthened. Have God be your strength in the midst of what we're going to go through. And then look what he says next. And let us show ourselves courage for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God, and that may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Our trust is in the Lord to do what is good in his sight. That's the Lord's work. We need to be strong, being strengthened by God, and have mature courage. He's telling them right here that they need to do that in the midst of a battle coming against them. And we know, as we read the Old Testament, how the battle came out was determined by who? By the Lord. We've seen them where it was, what happened was that it didn't work out, and we've seen it happen that it did work out. But they said, you know what, we're going to be strengthened by God. That's what we need to do. We need to stand and have courage. And I love this in verse 12. For the sake of our people, the people of God, and for the cities of our God, for God's work, God's what he's doing, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight. That's what we're putting our hope in when we're standing firm, what we're putting our hope in when we're having courage. That's what we're doing when we're being strengthened by the Lord, for the Lord to do what is good in his sight. Let me show you another place. Turn about 10, 12 pages to the right to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. Looking at verses 1 through 4, here's another, you know, place where Paul is talking, where he's getting this, seeing the principles, why he put these two together, act like men, be strong, as commands of God, as principles for living. Chapter 2 of 1 Kings, reading in verse 1 through 4, listen to what it says. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I'm going the way of the earth, of all the earth. He's going to die. Listen to what he said. He said, be strong. Be being strengthened by God. Therefore, and show yourself a man. Same two things. He told his son, you need to have the strength of the Lord in your life. You need to be being strengthened by the good, and you got to be show yourself a man. You got to keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, according to what is written in the law. That look like the left hand to you? You're going to have to be spiritually awake, and you're going to have to stand firm in the faith. You're going to have to hold to God's truth. You're going to need to have mature courage in this life. You're going to need to be being strengthened in the Lord. That's what Paul is teaching right here. This is what he's telling is a principle of life for the Christian. Look at the rest of verse 3 and following, so that you may succeed in all that you do and whatever you turn, so that the Lord may carry on out his promise in which he spoke concerning me, David says, saying, if the sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. You shall not lack God leading you. Let me tell you right now, if you'll stand firm in God's word and his truth and have courage and stand up for the Lord and be being strengthened for the Lord, you won't lack God leading you ever. Because he's going to be faithful. That's what God is doing. He's going to be faithful. He's going to guide and lead you. You know, when we struggle and when we fall, all of that, but that's what Paul is talking about, bringing stability in the midst of what's ever going on. These are principles for living. They're powerful. I studied this and I've been through this. This is absolutely powerful in your life. They're just not things you think on. They're just not conceptual ideas. They're very practical ways you live your life. They're very easy to apply. Well, very easy to understand how they apply, harder to apply than to understand. Because I got to deal with me and my flesh and my self-gratification and my final principle. Look at here, verse 5, back to 1 Corinthians with me. Final principle, he said this, since Christ came, our lives have changed dramatically. And you had this fifth one here, let all that you do be done in love. It's continuous action all the time for all of us. Present, active, imperative command. That's what it is. In all that you do, act on behalf of others. This is a good definition for this. In all that you do, act on behalf of others with passion, by choice, for God's best for them. That's love. This is a big order. This is big. This is a big order. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. This is a big order in our life. This is from the commander in chief talking to us that on the left hand we got this, on the right hand on this, and we could do this. Truth, love. They're both big orders. We want to stand in God's truth, walk in God's truth, and we want to love the way God wants us to live. That is a big order to God, to honor God's way of love. 1 Corinthians 13 says it like this, and I'll do it briefly and not expand on it, but listen to what it says. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails or love never stops. It's a big order to what God asks us and tells us how to love. Jesus said in John 13, he commanded us to love like he loves. In John, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, God has given us the ability to love like God loves. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:5, he said, it's the goal of our instruction, love. We are to speak the truth in love, hold out the truth in love. But I want to conclude with this. Turn your Bibles to Romans 13, verse 8 and following. We've already looked at this as we looked at being awake, but I want to tie this together, bring this all together, these living principles, what it looks like to love, this principle that God is asking us to live in this world, and see the importance of it and see the dynamic of it. It's more than maybe the world would say. It's certainly attacked by the world, what true love is. It's certainly, sometimes even in our own heart and mind, is messed up. What's a better word for that? I couldn't think of one at the moment. But we're going to conclude with this, looking at Romans 13, 8 through 10. Now, look with me at what it says here in verse 8 and 9. Listen to what it says. This is the word of God speaking to our heart about the principle of all that you do, do in love. Here it is. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this... For what? What's for this? For this, the loving one another. For this, that you fulfill what God wants you to do. For this, you shall not commit a murder or adultery or murder, and you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up by saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, did you hear what he's saying? Did you see what he just said there? Love doesn't break God's commands. Or people, we don't break God's commands because love... lives a holy life, doesn't break God's commands. Let me say that again. Love doesn't break God's commands. It lives a holy life. It seeks out to live a holy life. Did you hear what he said? Why? Because when you don't, means you don't love your neighbor. Now take that in for a moment, what God is saying here and what he's teaching us. When we don't follow God's word, when we don't live the way God wants us to live, and now we struggle and God's at work in all of our lives, but when we don't follow the way God wants us to live, what he's saying here in the text is, if you commit adultery or you have murder or if you steal or if you covet your neighbor's stuff or any other of the commandments, if you don't follow the commandments of God and break them, what you're saying is that in your actions, you don't love your neighbor. And we owe it to love our neighbor because of what Jesus Christ did in our life. Because of the grace and mercy of God, because what God does, we want to love our neighbor. That's the right hand. We're to love in all that we would do. And if you don't follow God, if you don't honor him in a holy life, if you don't honor his word, you're not loving your neighbor. That's what he's saying. Now look at verse 10. Look what he says. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That word does no wrong is this, does no evil. Listen to what he says. Love does no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know it's evil to your neighbor not to hold to God's truth because it's not loving them. That's how I want you to read that and understand what God is saying. Now, let's apply this right where we're living in America right now. Let's put it right in the context of what we're living. In the midst of same-sex marriage. For a Christian to walk around and say that God embraces and honors that in this world, that he honors that homosexuality isn't a sexual sin, is not loving them. According to God's biblical standard. That's what God wants us to see and know. The world is presenting, even in Christianity is presenting, and people are saying, you're not loving. Christians need to love. God is saying, no, love them. That's what God is saying. Now listen, that doesn't mean we stand up and get angry and mad. It's not loving them to hold a sign outside of a somewhere that says you're all going to hell. That's not loving. It's not loving to be angry and disgusted with what's going on. That's not loving. But it's evil to tell people that the same-sex marriage is God-honoring. It's not loving them. According to the scriptures that we just read, the world's going to tell you you're unloving. Some of the Christian church is going to tell you you're unloving. We're going to need to have mature courage. To stand on the firm on the word of God. We're not hating anybody. We're not putting anybody down because by the grace of God, there go I. And you too. And if you think you're above that, God needs to show you that you're not. Because there's nobody in the room above it. You weren't created better. Your depravity just didn't manifest itself that way. And you're depraved. I want to get that clear. Because sometimes we have a wrong heart about it. Somehow it's better than that. Thank God. That God saved you out of your depravity. We'll talk about that next Sunday in Sunday school. That's where we're going to start. But this is so important, church, that we live God's principles in this moment. You're not going to be liked. They're not going to come listen to me. It's not going to go well. The world isn't going to all come together hunky-dory. A line is going to be drawn on who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you again, only truth saves. Only truth. And I am so thankful. I'll get on my knees every day and thank the Lord that he penetrated my heart with the truth that somebody didn't say my fornication was okay with God. That somebody told me that sin and it breaks God's heart and Jesus Christ died because who you are, Ken, That's what we need to stand upon in this church. It's not about what it looks like. It's not about who comes. It's not about what it is. You got to stand this way for your children. The world is going to tell them, it breaks my heart what the world is telling children. What you can do in Oregon at 15 now, that's legal, and mom and dad can't do a darn thing about. Because the world has defined love as different, and that's why I wanted to go here. Love holds to the truth of God. Now, like I said, it doesn't hate. It doesn't despise. It doesn't hold a sign to say you're going to hell. To hold out the truth in love, to have real compassion for the lost, you cannot adulterate God's word. That's not going to help them at all. That's not loving them. Well, also, to have real compassion and real care to act on their behalf, you have to listen. You have to let them talk. You have to pray. You have to have patience, kindness. Don't act unbecomingly. Don't take into account wrong suffered. 1 Corinthians 13, right? All that it said there. Love like that in the midst of a world that does not like your message, that does not accept you as the normal. We were just talking about it this morning. What's the attack is that we need to accept that that is normal. It's just depravity. And we all need Jesus Christ. And God has asked us to love. Read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 before you talk to anybody about these important aspects that are going on in our life. Never acts unbecomingly. Never takes in consideration a wrong suffered. See, it's about God and His gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And I didn't know that all this compassion and this emotion would come out in the midst of this. But see, God uses both hands. He uses the truth of God. The truth of Jesus Christ and all that it is that you know and you understand and that you hold out with love to save and to rescue, to change lives. Look with me at verse 11. Look what it says. Do this. Romans 13. Do what? What we were talking about. Knowing that the time, that it's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. We need to do this. Love does no evil to his neighbor. And he says it's time to awake. It's time to not be spiritually asleep. God saves. So what Paul is wanting to bring stability to our Christian life with the high waves of everything, he says to us, talking to us, be spiritually awake, stand firm in the revealed truth of God, have mature courage, be being strengthened by the Lord in all that you do, love. And God that is at work in all of that, doing the Lord's work. What's the Lord's work again? To share Christ. Salvation, we would say it that way. Evangelism. To share Christ with people, sanctification, to grow our faith in Him, to have us have a strong testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and do the same for others. That's what God is at work doing, and we're joining in, participating in the Lord's work. These are powerful words with powerful living principles as we participate in the Lord's work. Let's close in prayer. Will you stand with me? Father, we thank you this morning for this, the grace bestowed upon us to gather in your name, to gather as a body of Christ, a family of God. Many, many things coming our way, Lord, just in our nation and what's going on in our world. And a lot of things are changing. You know all of that. We all know that. We all acknowledge that, Lord. We want to be sensitive to the people that are in our life, to the sensitive, caring, loving to our extended families, our own children, people that we're in contact with, Lord, that we know this is a big confusing thing and lots going on with the direction we're headed. We want to be awake about it all, Lord. Your calling to us isn't called us to isolate ourselves from the world. No, we don't want to be stained by it. No, we don't want it to harm us. I would agree with that. We don't want to delve in it in the sense of participating in where it's going. But you've left us here for a reason, Lord. Your church. your family of God. You've placed us where you desired. You've brought us together for us to stand for you, to be a light to our community, to whatever that would look like, to be a testimony to the saving faith of Christ, and for us together to help each other live for you in the midst of all of whatever goes on. We're thankful and grateful for that. We pray, Lord, for your word to just speak to our heart. We pray, Lord, for conviction to the truths of your word that call us to a standard of living. We pray for conviction that where your words call us to a purpose of living, knowing, Lord, that you'll bring about your purposes and plan. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. We are dismissed for today.